you as vessels of you and your power and your spirit, Father, and may you have your way in our hearts this morning as we learn of you and grow in our faith, and Lord, let you build up something in our life that goes beyond our humanity, that takes us into a place of the spiritual realm that helps us to yield ourselves to you, to connect with you, to worship you, and to love on you and be loved by you in the spirit, Father. We're thanking you for it, Father, thanking you for taking us into a deeper place with you, Father. I pray for your word this morning. May it penetrate hearts. Go deep, Lord, and help us to understand and to comprehend and to grasp and to take hold of exactly what it is that you have for us, for each one of us personally out of this message, Lord. We thank you, praise you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So, The High Road Part 2, and I found out this week there's a Part 3. That because I didn't get through some of the stuff that I really wanted to get to, and I'll explain that when we get towards the end of this one. But last week we started talking about the high road, okay, this place that God has set us. And the main point of that message from last week was that God has literally and intentionally placed you on a higher road, okay, as his child, as his children. Okay, he set you up for success by giving you, quote, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Okay, and through that, he set you up with literally everything that you would need to thrive as a son or a daughter of God. God wants you to be successful in life. That's just his motto for your living, for your life. Since that is God's plan for you, okay, since it is his intentional thought for you, it should be your greatest desire to walk in that, okay, to walk in that higher place, on that higher road, and not settle for mediocrity, you know, not settle for less than, okay, seeing how God sent you a deliverer. If you remember, we went through kind of the exodus of Moses and the Israelites from Egypt, but seeing that God has sent you a deliverer that separated you from the bondage of your enemy, you should openly welcome and receive everything that comes with that deliverance, all that favor, all the blessing, all the goodness, the provision. You remember, for the Israelites, God had them ask of their Egyptian neighbors, and they gave them all the gold and silver and clothes and everything, and they gave it to their sons and daughters before they left. Okay, God had intended for them to have what they needed as they left that place. Okay, so this week I want to take it to the next step, okay? Because I think it's one thing to know that God sent Jesus, okay, and set us free, but it's another to actually walk in that freedom. Okay, I think it's one thing to know that you've been placed on a higher road, and it's another to actually walk on that road and to travel experientially through life on that higher road. What does it look like? You know, what is entailed in that? Okay, so that's the question, is what does it look like? Okay, when you're living at a higher place, you're living at your God-given potential. Okay, you're living at some place that is the fullness of what God had intended for your life. What does that look like? For some, that might seem a little aloof. Okay, like, it's out there somewhere. I know my full potential in Christ is out there somewhere, but I don't quite understand what it means or how to get there or what it looks like. Okay, it's kind of hard to fathom. I know when I'm thinking of something like that I've never maybe experienced at this point in life, it's helpful for me to have something that is kind of like I call it the finished product. Okay, to have a completed example of something to look at so that I know exactly what it is that I'm trying to accomplish. Okay, if you got your spiritual ears on, you'll catch some things in this. Like when I worked for several years for UPS, started out loading trucks and then driving trucks and then training drivers, and by the time I got to the training drivers part, it was pretty blatant that there was one particular driver that was sort of the model for all the newer drivers. Okay, he was a guy that was exceptionally safe, okay, which was number one, he had to be safe. He was exceptionally safe, he was fast, And he was efficient. He could do more than most in a single day. So as an on-road supervisor, part of my job was to ride with drivers and spend an entire day with them doing observation and training with them. And when I would ride with this one particular driver, I would go out for an entire day and find that I didn't do a lot of training. I did more observing on my own part and learning from this guy because he was such a good model, such a good example for all the newer drivers. He sort of was so good at his job and completing what he needed to do every day that by watching him in action, it sort of showed me what I should be teaching the new drivers. I was picking up all these things that he was doing, thinking, oh, that would be good to teach to so-and-so. They really struggle in that area. Okay, well, this is one of the reasons why Christians assemble together in fellowship. Because there are some that are walking at different places in their walk with God that we can learn from. And if we are learning from them with the intention of, oh, that will be such good help for me or for somebody else, then it begins to form this bond between the body of Christ that helps us to grow together. Okay, I also know that if I'm trying to assemble something that is pretty complicated, okay, it helps to have, again, a completed product to be able to look to kind of understand that process. We got, my boys and I got a home gym a while back, and it came in literally five, yeah, my son's flexing back there. It came in five big boxes. Okay, you can imagine 180 pounds or whatever it was in weight, and so they had to split it out. Five boxes that came over the course of about a week and a half. Okay, and in one of those boxes was the instructions that was about, I'll just guesstimate, 19 pages or something long. It was a long instruction. And all these parts, all these pieces had to be put together with all the cables and screws and all these things. Well, I kept flipping to the back page of that instruction manual to see what the completed product was supposed to look like to help the whole process go easier. You know what I'm talking about? It makes it easier if you look and you're, oh, yeah, that cable's supposed to go there. But you can flip to the back rather than following just the individual instructions. I don't know, how many of you guys have ever put together a puzzle, like 500 pieces or 1,000 piece puzzle? Did you look at the box to see what it was supposed to look like? I think most of us do that, right? It helps to know, oh, the darker greens are on this side of the puzzle that we're working on or whatever it is. The ground is down here, so this must be these brown pieces. And we begin to separate things out to make life easier in putting that together. That begins with a mental picture of what it's going to look like in the end. It helps us put things in the right order as we're preparing and completing that project or whatever it is. You know, I suppose if you like doing things the hard way, you could do it without looking at the box, right? Could be done. Might take you longer. Maybe if you're, what's that guy's, Monk? He used to put puzzles together without looking at the box, I think, just based on the shape of the pieces. Okay, I think we could do it if we wanted to, if we didn't mind life being a little harder, if we didn't mind life being more of a struggle than it needed to be. Okay, God gave us a powerful instruction book. Okay, one that is full of numerous examples to help sort of paint this mental picture of what walking on the high road looks like. Okay, now we see imperfections in a lot of the guys in the Bible. That's a good example for us to know. Aside from the one example that most did still have an occasional bump in the road. But God gave us the absolute perfect, best at it ever example through Jesus Christ, his son. Correct? You guys followed me so far, right? Jesus, perfect. Jesus, perfect. Okay, you got that part. Today I want to focus on one specific portion of his example. Okay, Jesus set a lot of examples, did a lot of things right, everything right, right? So I want to look at one little piece, one little part of his example and kind of zone in on that and seek to follow that one thing because it will help in so many other areas. That one particular theme is found throughout the Bible, and it is integrity and moral courage. Okay, everybody say this. Say integrity and moral courage. Okay, I'm saying it two separate pieces to that, and we'll barely even get to the second part. But I want to talk about integrity. Okay, because it means something different. We always think integrity is doing the right thing when nobody's looking. Anybody heard an example like that or a definition? Okay, that's part of it. But it's so much deeper than that when you look at how it's used in the Bible. Integrity is actually something that God's Word says that we can ask God to judge me based on my integrity. Okay, it's that big of a thing, right? Judge me based on my integrity. In Psalms chapter 7, verse 8, it says this. It says, "The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me." Okay, judge me according to my integrity that is in me. Okay, now that word integrity in the Hebrew, I have a definition of it. Integrity in the Hebrew means blameless, innocence. As an example, a state or condition of moral goodness in a life with the focus of not having guilt or sin. Okay, do you catch that last part? Having a focus without guilt or sin. In other words, you're able to focus because you're not guilty and have sin. Okay, it's described, if you continue on with that definition, it is described as a way of living and acting that sort of just happens. Okay, it sort of becomes who you are, and it just begins to flow from you. It's a state of moral purity that includes not being guilty of wrongdoing or sin, and thereby living from that place with a clear conscience. Okay, how many know that when you trip or you stumble, you fall into sin, that your focus goes from this great and wonderful loving God out there and helping people and serving to all of a sudden you trip and it's this magnitude of weight that comes on you and it's like, boom. And right now, our focus is not much bigger than our arm's reach. You know, how does, you know, life, oh man, life is hard, life is bad, I'm such a bad person. And we start running all these guilt feelings and thoughts and things run through our mind. Integrity is actually a place of living where we don't have that guilt feeling. We don't have that sin consciousness, but it remains as a son consciousness, as Jesus. Okay, and we live from that. The focus of integrity is on the response of the inner being to a morally clean state. Okay, there's a line for you. The focus of integrity is on the response of the inner being to a morally clean slate or state. You know, maybe you don't get as excited about the word integrity as I do. Okay, I read through this, and I'm telling you, when I started seeing what it meant in the Hebrew and what it means in the Greek and how they were using it in Scripture in the Bible, I got really excited because I said, that's it. Integrity is the mirror of everything I've been preaching all these years, okay, that we became righteous so that we can live from that righteousness, okay, that God made us righteous so that we could live from that mindset, from that state of being right in God's eyes, being okay with Him, okay, not that we live under a burden of this big mean God that's always out to get us, okay, it's the opposite of that. And integrity, though, what I found is that there's a big difference between righteousness and integrity. Even though integrity is like what I said, it's kind of a mirror of what I've been preaching, it is not what I've been preaching. Because the big difference between the two is that righteousness is a gift from God. Okay? It is something that God gives you, makes you. But integrity, on the other hand, is something that you do in response to what God has done. Okay, righteousness, in other words, is God's decision. He chose to send Jesus to give us that option. Believe on His Son, you are made righteous in His eyes. Okay, that was God's decision. Integrity, though, walking in a moral courage, is your decision. It's your reaction to what He did. Okay, you have a part to play in the life that you live. Did you know that? Somebody say amen. You got to be following that. Okay, you have a part to play in the life that you live. Right? Does anybody make decisions? Everybody made a decision to be here this morning. You're here watching, tuning in, whatever it is. You're part of this because of a decision that you make. Okay, you have a big part to play in your own life. God did His part. Did He send Jesus? Did He give us the Holy Spirit? Did He forgive us of our sins through faith in Christ alone? Did He, His grace? He gave it. God did His part. Now it's up to us to respond to what He did. Okay, now some of you are struggling, okay, through life. You've got some sort of a, you know, if you want to call it ongoing sin or something that kind of keeps coming up, and you're struggling with that because you're just waiting for God to do something. Okay, you're waiting for God to zap you and make it all better. Okay, to change you overnight, to make it all a reality in one moment. Okay, and there are things God does in a moment. I won't kid you. I've seen it, experienced it. But most of the time, God is waiting for you to do something about it. Okay? He already gave you not only righteousness, but He also gave you the authority to use His name. He also gave you the Holy Spirit to be at your disposal, to be able to speak right into the spiritual realm. Okay, with some of the problems in your life, I won't discount this, that you probably just need to make some better decisions and things will get better. I don't doubt that. All of us have some area that we're kind of going along and not maybe making the right choice, and we kind of know we're not making the right choice, and we've kind of just doing that. But there are other areas of your life that you need to use the power in the authority that has been given you to put those demonic spirits in their rightful place under your feet. Okay? Some of the troublesome things in your life, okay, blaming other people, you're blaming them for that, for what's going on in your life, or you're blaming your parents or your past, or you're blaming your circumstances, your boss, whatever it is. But if you read the same Bible that I do, it might be a little different version, but it's probably the same Bible, you're going to see that certain things are simply hateful, harmful, hindering demonic spirits that have attached themselves to your life and are going along for a free ride simply because you're letting them. Okay, Jesus said of those who believe in Him that in My name you shall cast out demons. And He meant that. That is a truth of the Bible that most of the body of Christ looks past. They don't want to believe that part. They believe, yep, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. They believe we should love one another as God loved me. But when Jesus said, in My name you shall cast out demons, they look right past that because it's scary. They're afraid of that or something. I don't know what it is. I didn't. As soon as somebody told me that, I was like, if Jesus said that, I want that. Okay, it's part of the package. I want that. Okay, Jesus did that, gave that to me. Jesus said that to me. Yeah, I'll take that. It's coming from Jesus. It's from our Lord. Of course, it's going to be good and helpful and beneficial in our life. I'm talking about telling depression to go to hell where it belongs. I don't know if I can say that in church, but I just did, right? Right? I think it works in that reference, right? Tell depression to go to hell where it belongs, right? Okay. We can do that. You can tell that lust or that spirit of anger to get out of your life. Things like loneliness, confusion, anxiety, even many of the physical sicknesses that come upon us can be spoken to and commanded to get out of your life. Paul said to resist the devil and he will flee from you. I have a little clue for you about the devil. He doesn't have much stamina. Okay, he's a quitter. Okay, he's not faithful, or he'd still be in heaven on the right side, right? He's not faithful. He gives up too easy. That's why Paul said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He gets tired of it. He tries, he trips you, maybe then you get a little wiser and you're like, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. Devil, quit. You quit. Stop. No more. And you start resisting him. He'll come at you. You resist him. Knock him down again. He gets up about twice, three times. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go find somebody that doesn't know their authority in Christ. I'm going to go find somebody that won't fight back. Because there's lots of those. Christianity, our culture is full of people like that. You know, unfortunately, many people are putting up with these things, other things like that in their life, simply because they're waiting for God to kick them out. Okay, and I'll have to say I've done this myself. I'm in this as well. But at times we wonder why, you know, we're just struggling with something. God, just take it away. Just take it away. And God is looking at us saying, buddy, I gave you everything that you need to put that in its rightful place so it is no longer hindering you. I gave it to you. I gave you my son, his only begotten son. I gave you the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. I'll ask him. He'll send the Holy Spirit. He did. So all that has been done. So God is looking at us saying, buddy, I've given it to you. I've given you what you need to put that stuff in its rightful place and get it out of your life. I've given you all the power and all the authority of His Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of us to speak and put that stuff into its place. And He is saying, just start doing it. Now, remember, integrity is your response to what God has done. Here's why I say integrity is one word, but it's massive in the Bible. It is your response to what God already did. Psalms chapter 26, verse 1. Again, the psalmist saying, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Okay? We walk in the truth of the Bible, we shall not slide. In other words, we respond to what God gave us. He gave us His Word. In the beginning was the Word, right? We have the Word. We have Jesus. This is His gospel to us. Walking in integrity is this tremendous key to walking on the high road. Okay, it is how we walk in that higher place that God said, I want you to walk here as He delivered us from our enemy. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Okay, that term, perverseness, okay, it implies a path that is crooked because it is rooted in something that is untrue. It is believing the lie. The devil is a liar and the father of it. Okay, he loves to lie, loves to deceive, loves to tell you something that's not true. And as soon as you start believing that, you've stepped over into perverseness. Okay, what happens when we stray from the truth of God's Word? We get into perverseness. Okay, something that is rooted in falsehood. Okay, and according to this, it leads to error and destruction because integrity was not maintained. Integrity is believing and responding to the truth of God. Perverseness is basically the opposite of that. It is stepping aside and believing something that God said wasn't true or that is not true. In other words, perverseness comes into play when you quit responding to the truths of God's Word. What does God say? What does His Word say? You know, in one of the groups I'm in on Facebook, I can't remember if it was a pastor's group or one of the other Bible quotes or whatever it was, but somebody put in there a statement that said, many Christians do not believe what they say they believe, or they would not act the way they act. We say we believe the Bible is true. It's God's Word. It's powerful. But yet we don't believe everything that's in there. Okay, some parts of it we don't grab onto. Okay, the high road that God has set us on is a narrow road. Okay, remember the passage Jesus talks about, the narrow road, and the wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Okay, wide is the gate that leads to perverseness. Okay, it's destruction because it's straying off track, following after something that is not true. Okay, this narrow road that we're on does not have a lot of room on it for straying to the right or to the left. Okay, but the best part is that the Holy Spirit that God has given you will always keep you right in the center of that road. His goal is to constantly lead, guide, encourage, try to get you to take a step right in the middle of that narrow road that God has given you. He will never, ever, ever once take you down a wrong road. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will not lead you down a lie. He will not lead you in a false direction. He will not lead you in a way that is not God's best for your life. The Holy Spirit is accurate. Everybody say that. The Holy Spirit is accurate. Okay? He will lead you in the best way. The Holy Spirit will not even, and here's people get this wrong, the Holy Spirit will not even lead us over to the edge of that narrow road where we might slip and fall. Amen. He will not lead you into sin. The Bible says that. The Holy Spirit will keep you in the center of that narrow road that is the high road of God. Okay, but that's where your part comes in. Because the Holy Spirit does not take the steps for you. He leads you, guides you, shows you the best that He possibly can. If you're tuned in, you're going to hear, and if we're tuning Him out, we don't. But that's our part. He's going to lead you to stay on the path of integrity, but it is you that puts one foot in front of the other. Because you can take a step in the wrong direction. You can go against the Spirit. Anybody done it? I have. My hand's up. You can take a step against the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you'll get a gut-wrenching feeling. Sometimes you'll know and you're like, I shouldn't be doing this. Oh, but I do. Okay, and we intentionally do something that we knew we shouldn't have. Okay, that happens. The Holy Spirit is not like a computer programmer and you're just a computer. Okay, you have a choice you get to make. Okay, we're better than AI, right? Okay, we get to make our own choices. Okay, nobody is showing us or telling us, or we're not doing it based on a rhythm. We're actually able to make choices and think for yourself. You decide whether to follow the Holy Spirit's lead or not. You decide that. Okay, the devil's going to try to influence you, but it comes down to you get to make that choice. Proverbs 4:23 says, to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of your feet. Okay, the Amplified says that last verse there, verse 26. It says, consider well the path of your feet, and let all of your ways be established and ordered aright. Okay, who's ordering your steps? Is the Lord. Okay, and if we ponder the path of our steps, we can put one foot in front of another in the right direction. Sometimes, especially in the beginning, it might look a little awkward. because you're trying to listen to the Spirit, so you're saying, oh, the Spirit says take this step, and the Spirit says take this step, and the Spirit says take this step, and we look like a newborn baby or a young baby trying to learn to walk, right? And it's kind of, you stomp down hard, okay? You're kind of looking awkward, a little wobbly, but I guarantee you, over time, following the Spirit gets easier. Okay, it gets to the part where integrity, like I said in the beginning, it has to do with doing it without even thinking about it. It's kind of like you get to the point where it becomes more automatic. Okay, you're still going to have a part to play, but it's still pretty automatic, and you can kind of glance around and make sure you're staying on the right track. It's when you begin to step out of that that you're going to know, you're going to begin to feel that it doesn't feel right. Something is out of whack. I'm getting back here. Okay, and we begin to do that when we listen to the Holy Spirit. We stay in tune with integrity. Okay, stay in tune with walking in the truth and not believing a lie. Okay, over time, you're going to get more and more comfortable with the Holy Spirit's guidance. Okay, you're going to get to that point where it just seems to feel better. It's right to do those things that are right in God's eyes. So know this as we close out this morning. Walking in integrity means we will be aiming and walking on this higher road, but there's also going to be times where there's a few bumps in that road. It does not mean we will never see or experience anything bad in life. Okay? That is the place where moral courage comes in. Okay? That we're going to talk about next week. Moral courage is doing what is right in the sight of God's eyes, no matter what the consequences are. Okay, because there are things that even when the Spirit is leading you down the right path, I just read to you this morning, they're going to cast you into prison, they're going to hate you for Jesus' name. Okay, that's not easy stuff, but we won't even get to that or do that stuff if we're straying from the truth. Okay, but when you're walking in integrity, you're walking in moral courage, you will be doing those things that are leading people to hate you because of your faith in Jesus. Okay, you remember Job? Okay, he got his own book, right? Most of us know Job. He lost a lot. Okay, he went through a tremendous amount of suffering, terrible loss in his life. His family members, okay, his servants, his livestock, his health, okay, they were all destroyed. And at one point, his wife, who was his closest and dearest supporter probably for most of his life, tells him that he should just give up. Forsake God and perish. Okay? But it was Job's integrity that kept him hanging in there. Job 2:9, the last verse says this. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Just curse God and die already. Okay, the already's I added. But you get the point. She was saying, just curse God and die already. This is bad. Telling him to curse God, but he was retaining his integrity. Okay, that's the rest of the story. He maintained his moral courage. He did what he knew was right. He continued to do what was right in the sight of God's eyes, and God blessed him with more than he could have ever imagined. So this week, as you go through the week, pay attention to the steps that you take every day. Okay, learn to listen and tune in to the Holy Spirit. He's been given for us to do that. Determine to live your life in a way that responds to the truth and does what's right in God's eyes. See yourself as a man or a woman of integrity, and you'll walk on that high and that narrow road of God's best for your life. Okay, that's the plan. Father, we're praising you this morning. I thank you for the love of Jesus. I thank you for your power and glory you gave us through your Spirit. I thank you for penetrating hearts, for pricking our hearts, Lord, if needed, to get us to think differently in certain areas of our life. I pray that the meat of your word is able to be digested by every person in here. I pray that, Father, we do choose and desire and crave living in integrity, Lord, walking out as a response to what you've done, walking in your truth. Lord, we praise you for it, and we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen. And